It is 7 o'clock. Let's call to order the regular meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay. If everyone please stand and join Director Graves in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can I get a roll call, please?
Roll call to take it. Let the record show all members present.
Thank you so much. We will now move to public comments. So this is time for any public that wants to make a comment on anything that is not on the agenda. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to make a public comment?
Why does everybody look at me?
Oh, you had one.
I do. In fact, I do. It's very inconsequential. But next board meeting is on June 19th. June 18th. It's a federal holiday, actually. So it got me thinking as well, okay, then we canceled the July 3rd meeting. And I guess we're just not going to hold it. But wouldn't it have been better to just postpone it, push it back a week, push each one back a week? So you'd have not on a federal holiday, not near a holiday, and actually you could probably have to push 3 weeks back. But then the space would be good.
Thank you. Do we have any other public comment in the audience? Anyone online?
Everyone has raised.
Okay. Thank you so much. So we will close public comments and we'll move to the consent calendar.
Motion to approve.
Second.
I have a motion to approve in a second. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Buteau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Graham?
Aye.
President Callahan?
Aye. Thank you so much. We'll move to the area agencies and liaison reports. Anyone from Supervisor's Office?
I do know that Stephen Griswold wanted to be here because he this evening, but I don't see him.
Okay, then we'll move to Sheriff. Thank you so much.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Are you able to accommodate all 76?
73, yes. 73. We had to make some changes to our curriculum, and we already had plenty of staffing. This year, out and coordinate efforts with code enforcement. They went and made contact with the homeowner, and this is related to some vehicles that one of the neighbors here on the boulevard had complained about. Code enforcement did go make contact. They sent my units out on Thursday to see if there was any change. The problem had not been completely resolved, so I did reach back out to code enforcement, and they will be following up tomorrow with that homeowner. So hopefully we see something there. And then lastly, I would like to invite all of you and the community to our first summer pop-up party. It will be on June 20th from 11 to 1 here at some call it Slippers, some call it Cycle Park. A couple of you came out last year and joined us, and we had a good time. Kelly, I forwarded you the flyer, so if you don't mind posting that, that would be fantastic. But we'll have games, we'll have swag for the kids, we can come out, hang out with our deputies.
Just a quick comment. I just want to thank and let the board know to thank the lieutenant. When she became aware of the sideshow issue that we've been having recently, she had arranged for the cars to, when they weren't on calls, to keep an eye, and they found a new home, apparently, at least for a day or two. So.
Nice.
Yes, we've noticed that they like to congregate in the Safeway Shopping Center before they go misbehave. So my deputies, not this last Saturday, but the Saturday before, were able to basically get ahead of the activity and drive it away. So
thank you.
It's well done.
Like a locker room.
Yes.
In one place, they move to the next.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
Thanks.
You.
Any public comment on agency reports? All right, we will move to EMAC. I think you had somebody had something, right? No? No Mac?
No Mac.
Okay, I was misinformed. So I will move on. No presentations?
No presentations.
Okay, discussion of possible action items. So we have G1. Was strip. Moving to G2, discussion and possible action to approve mobile modular contract proposal to create architectural engineering plans for the future district office building.
Yes, so tonight we're bringing forward to you this decision for architectural plans for the new office building project. Before I get into those details of the quote in the agenda packet, I just want to bring in with a very brief timeline of how we left to where we are today. The reason for the project, which I understand we all know, was because of the OVIA report that was done by Blue Ribbon Scalmini, identifying that our district office is located on a
Hi. So yeah, I presented this quote via email to Adina. I'm sorry. I apologize, Dina. I'm not sure. Has this already been distributed? I believe this was distributed prior to the last board meeting when I attended.
Yes, they have in their packet your quote.
Okay, so this is a design services agreement for the development of the design of the site as well as the building for the new town offices. And so the scope of services goes through several phases, as you can see outlined in the proposal: the programming phase, schematic design phase, the design development, and the construction documents phase. And the final product of this proposal would be construction documents that could be used for all site development as well as for the construction of the modular building. Through the course of the process of this agreement, we will be able to provide proposals for the building as well as the site work at the schematic design phase. We would be able to provide proposals for both those separate, the construction of the building and also the development of the site. Were there any questions in the particulars of the proposal as it was presented?
So, Josh, just to clarify, this is the cost to do the architectural for buildings, site scopes, but this is not to decide what the modular building is actually going to do. You're going to be presenting that in the phase C, correct?
When you say what the building is actually going to do,
actually be. So we're not approving like a modular building today that has, you know, no board room or a board room. That's going to be done in the later phase, but we can't even start deciding what to do on that unless we start doing some of the architectural stuff that we're voting to approve on today, potentially. Correct?
Okay, so that would most likely happen during the programming phase, which in a sense has already begun, because we have a proposed design that we have presented that was based on information that we already received. So the programming phase would actually kind of determine the needs and the use of the building in order to allow the development of the floor plan, which would take place in the second phase, the schematic design phase. So in terms of the question of whether it includes a boardroom or not, that would be something that would be determined during that programming phase. And if it was something that needed to be included as a future alternative, that could be part of that. That could be part of the decision that is made. But at the end of this contract, yes, you will have the drawings for the building ready to, approved and ready to construct. So the specifics of details of the building would be determined during the course of the architectural design.
Thank you.
And then during this, with the different phases, is that when the amount that you have noted here would be due, so we would pay you upon completion of phase one, phase two, phase three?
Yes, that's right. So that the schedule of values that's included in the proposal that would be billed upon completion. Well, there is a retainer payment at the front end, and then as each phase is completed, then those subsequent billings will be invoiced.
Like progress payments.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Correct, yeah.
So you mentioned at the end of the proposed phases that the construction documents would be completed and approved. Is that approval through the county? Does that include any of the permitting process to actually begin construction? So this would be ready to go, they could immediately break ground?
Yes, so if we were able to have the contract in place for that work, we could break ground as soon as this this contract was complete. There's two entities that will be involved. There'll be the local approval for all work on the site, the foundation, all the utility work, any other landscaping, lighting, etc. That is part of the site. That will all go through the local approval process as typical with any ground up construction. The modular building is approved at the state through the Office of Housing and Community Development, HCD. And so the building would be approved, stamped and approved through HCD, ready for factory construction. Ideally, with modular construction, the factory construction would be taking place simultaneously with the site development, so that when the foundation was complete, the modular building would be ready for delivery. And so that would require some coordination of the timing on the execution of those contracts. But if, just as a design agreement here, standalone, this agreement that we're talking about today, if no other contracts were executed during the time of this contract, at the end of it, the local permits process would be ready to issue, and the state approvals would be we would have stamped drawings ready for factory construction on the building.
And I don't know if this is a question for Josh or Dina, but no matter what we do, whether it's modular or building, we have to go through a process like this, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And can you remind us what the cost was to do it with the original building that we were talking about, what that architectural cost was?
Oh, the architectural cost was, I believe it was a little over $800,000.
Yes,
yeah.
So almost double what this is, correct?
Hey Josh, Brian Cachel. So Global Module is going to perform both elements, the design element, and then once we get that completed, then your company will also do the construction and installation. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what we would be proposing. This would be the first step to allow us to be able to present those contracts to the board, and we would, our proposal would be more or less to provide a turnkey solution so that we would handle all of the permitting process, the site work, and the modular building.
It just seems like a lot of money for the design element, and I guess I'm coming from the standpoint where I think of a modular solution, I think you guys would have some type of basic cookie cutter buildings, and then we just kind of elaborate on those. Am I misunderstanding how that the process works?
Well, this is a custom solution, so the modular building itself actually will be fairly customized. But you're right, it will use a lot of the typical modular structural components that are reused for every project, but there are going to be some custom elements in this building that will require engineering and calculations. The majority of the cost for this contract, though, is for the architectural services as related to the site and the site development. There are also engineering costs in there for the See here, we fire sprinkler. I believe this building has fire suppression. I don't have it pulled up. I apologize, but This includes all the elements that require custom engineering, but again, the majority of this is for the site development.
Is any of the work that we did with AET applicable that you could utilize? Do we have a basic design done?
So we did utilize the basic design, and that's what we did provide to Global Modular.
Okay.
So we're keeping that same schematic, but the site work, AET did not do any site work. So there is nothing that we could pass on.
And we're doing this off of Sourcewell, correct?
They are
a member of Sourcewell, which
yes.
is contract bidding, which kind of keeps everything in line with pricing and stuff like that. Correct.
So,
can you clarify that?
Yeah. Sourcewell is the purchasing of personal property element, and personal property element here is the building.
Okay.
There's new law in California that allows for a design build project for projects for entities like this for $5 million that exceed $5 million. So that's what we're trying to put together so that we can have this turnkey solution. So I think that's what Josh is a little bit, edging on, but we're in the process of aligning that law with the town discovery bay so that we can, eliminate any sort of competitive bid and utilize the framework that's established by the California legislature.
Okay, thank you.
Josh, do all these phases have to occur in order for you to give the town an estimate on what the construction cost is going to be? Or
no. No, we do not need to get through all of the phases in order to be able to provide the estimate. And see here, if we look at the proposal, I believe at the end of the schematic design phase is when we're going to present some preliminary proposals for both the building as well as the site.
Any other questions from the board?
Not yet. Maybe we open to the public.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'd like to do that then. I'd like to open up for public comment. If there's anyone in the audience that would like to make any public comment.
So we're going to pay these guys. We're going to pay these guys $450,000 to come up with an architectural design, so that they can pitch us on doing the rest of the job. So I think that's the way I understand it. So they're going to come up with a plan to create a turnkey development. These guys use one of two vendors. They said. Previous presentation. One was in Arizona, another one was in Southern California. I looked them up, I think I found them. And they also go direct, so they sell their buildings direct. So why wouldn't we just go direct and bypass the middleman? I guess it's a question for Josh to address maybe in the rebuttal. But that's one thing. Another thing was in one of the presentations, they said that modular buildings aren't cheaper, they're just faster, because you can do things simultaneously. You can build and prep the site at the same time, so it's faster. Which kind of begs the question, okay, it's not cheaper, it's faster. I ran some numbers, right? You look at, it's 3.5 to 4 million for the building. We're taking out a faith, by the way. We don't actually know. Then site work from AET site work is 3.5 million. You've got the architectural costs, you've got construction management, you've got pre-construction, you've got contingencies. You're up to like 11 million already. So we're in that territory that the town really is not happy with. And at the same time, we're going for a modular building. So what are the downsides to a modular building? I don't know. So what are we trading off with a modular building? They're pre-built. There's gotta be something. So
Is there any other public comment? Hi,
good evening. So mainly my questions are being for Josh, so maybe you could write these down and then just respond to them. That'd be great. And all, you know, interest to full disclosure, I don't have any documents or specific numbers in front of me. But if I'm hearing right, we're talking about a roughly $450,000 proposal to do site work and engineering for the building. And so I'd be interested to know how much of that $450,000 is for site work and how much of it is for the building. And then second is, I'm sure this is not your first municipal building that you've done, and I think actually you've done one down towards San Jose that's a municipal building that has boardrooms and so forth. And if the town elected to go with a design you already have built somewhere else, would it eliminate that engineering cost of this, or dramatically reduce it, that's included in this $450,000? Thank you very much.
Thank you. So coming back to the board, any additional questions that were raised after public comment?
Hey, Josh.
Yeah, I'd like to hear.
Oh, go for it.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask Josh to give us some
perfect
buildings that you're doing locally around here, and kind of what kind of response did you get from the town, and research should we, how long have we been talking to you, and give us an example of some of the buildings that you're working on that we could look at locally.
Well, there's the Delta Presbyterian right next door. We have a building that's in process. I think it's nearing completion there. That you could certainly see from the outside anyway. And I'm sure that it might be possible to make a way to see the inside as well. And I can provide some additional examples for other projects to go visit, if that is something that you all would be interested in doing. I don't have them right now, but I can certainly provide those via email and set up some meetings, you know, to visit those places.
Thank you.
Josh, do the church next door, do they have a similar proposal as far as all the programming and the phases as well, or was that a different?
I think theirs was a more simplified process. I wasn't involved with that project, but they have some similarities in the sense that they have a site constructed roof that is going to be going onto their, or that has already been installed onto their building. But with Delta Presbyterian, I believe the design and was built into the construction contract. And we did not have the extent of the site work required on that project either.
Do you know the approximate square footage differences between Delta Valley and what we're looking at? Just to make sure we're comparing like apples to apples, or you know what I mean? Like, have an understanding of what we're looking at.
I don't know offhand what the square footage of their project was.
Okay, thank you.
So the idea, I know
will get that information for you.
I know that when we originally came, we had a design in mind. So going back to the point of, are there any pre-built engineering planned type designs that could be utilized to reduce some of the costs in what we are looking for? Like, do you guys have like a this is going to be horribly simplified, but like a catalog of these are buildings that you can pick from that we could just drop into your site, and the engineering costs are lower because we already have pre-built plans.
Well, okay, so I think it goes back to the question that was asked earlier in regards to how does the price break down on the site versus the building. So to try to answer that, we have probably a little less than around 25%, I would say, of the cost. No, that's not right. I'm sorry. I'm trying to give you the price of kind of what goes to the building. So it's about, it's a little less, I'm going to say it's like around a third is the building, and the rest is the site. And the building, meaning the, including fire alarm design and fire suppression design, which are separate engineers. So if we use a typical modular structure that doesn't require kind of the custom layout that we have for this building, we could reduce that, and it doesn't really require an architect or engineers to get involved. It's just utilizing the existing structural package that we have at the factory. So yeah, we can cut that down. This building, this contract includes the foundation design, the truss design, and the site work development, which is not going to be a repeatable item. The site development is not something that can be reused in the way that modular construction is typically able to be reused. So if we went with a more standard layout, meaning a simple rectangular, utilizing uniform modules, we could certainly reduce the engineering and the architectural costs down to basically a floor plan development, which would be a much simpler process. If we only wanted to take it as far as developing that so that it could be priced out, then you would also, cut off the need to take this through state approval and, further reduce the cost in that way.
I'd like to point something out. Before Mobile Alarm Module was ever involved in this project, the board came together and decided how we wanted to approach this. And decided that we knew there was going to be future growth within Discovery Bay. We knew that we didn't have the adequate space of where we were, and so we decided that we wanted to pay somebody to do a needs assessment to design the building to fit our needs. Yes, I'm sure we could save costs by putting somebody else's building on our property that doesn't fulfill our needs, but that's not how we approach this, and I don't really think that's the right idea. I think we need to build a building that's going to fit the needs of the town of Discovery Bay and the staffing that we have and the future growth that we know is coming. And so when I hear the questions that are being asked, I'm kind of like, well, we're asking whether or not we can take somebody else's building and put it on our property. And I don't think that's the right approach.
But if we can see some examples to see if any would work, possibly it would be worth, looking at them and saying no.
I personally am not qualified to do needs assessment, so I could look at somebody else's plans. But do I really know whether those are going to?
But we can compare them to our needs and see if that is an option. I just think it would be great to make sure we have all options and all information.
So can I pipe in for a second?
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Director Graves on this, and he's saying a third of the cost. We're talking $150,000 of money for the building architectural design for what we're looking for and doing. although it seems like this is something that has just come to light, I mean, this is something that's been going on for over a year, even previous to us. And like, as much as we all want to save money, we have some big stuff coming. Mm-hmm. And if we don't build out for what we need, then we're going to be back to where we are right now. So on top of being, you know, at risk with the EPA for where our current buildings are, I don't think any of our residents, well, I mean, there's some residents actually that are working in that building right now, mm-hmm. that, you know, like, if we keep kicking this down the road, we're going to continue to have escalated costs. We're going to get to a point where we're spending more money on repairs on a building that's falling apart. Heaven forbid the EPA comes and audits us or comes and looks at what we're doing, and then we get fined for that. So we have to do some type of site design. Like, I don't think it's a good idea to cut corners or costs on foundation design or site work development. And in previous meetings, we've also spoke about some of that site work development and the cost of what that looks like being wrapped up into some other things, like with the solar projects and stuff like that. But we don't know what any of that is going to be or cost until we actually make a contract to do something.
Josh, you know, I appreciate your comments very much. Another question for you. Would we, if we did by some chance find a building that you had built before that would work, you know, closely for what we're looking for, would we save more than $150,000?
Off the design? No.
I mean, we spent $50,000.
What about in the cost of the building itself?
Certainly, the cost of the building are driven by the design of the building, the finishes selected, all of that. So what we presented was based upon providing a custom solution for the preliminary design that we had received, that then we took and created a way to construct it using modular components. And it was based on this, the custom design that was presented that I shared previously that I think originated with the previous architect. So certainly there are options that would reduce the cost of the building, and those options will have to be evaluated during the course of the design. So we can present the cost for the building, you know, as it's currently shown, but we can also provide cost saving opportunities if that's needed to simplify the building or reduce its finishes.
So my question to the board, the other directors, are we looking to go as cheap as possible and potentially in 5 years have to spend more money to be where we're at, and we have a modular building or a building that we're not proud of that can't accommodate all of our needs to save money on this building? Because if we're just looking to save money, then we need to go look at every other decision we've made.
Director Porter, I don't think anyone on the board is taking that approach. I'm just trying to understand how the money is being spent. I don't, you know, I'm not construction, so I don't understand response phase. I don't understand schematic design phase. So.
But it's all laid out. If you look at it and you flip the next pages, it's bullet pointed. Every single solitary thing.
And I read those bullet points.
So foundation.
I'm just trying to ask questions differently,
yeah.
Not only for myself, but for the audience and the residents who could be listening in, to make sure that we're asking questions and looking at all different perspectives. That's all. I would never recommend not doing a design phase if that's something that absolutely has to be done to save a couple dollars. No. But if, since it's a modular company, we're just asking questions as far as what all of our options kind of look like. And my last question to you, Josh, is, so, you know, before we get too knee deep in this, at the end of the day, you saw the AET quote. Are we going to be below that quote, or are we in the same ballpark? Because that was a full building.
I did not see the full AET proposal, but That was, my understanding is that was just a rough order of magnitude quote for the whole project. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and then you said for a full building, and what I tried to share with when I had the opportunity to visit you all was that there is the idea of considering modular buildings as a particular type of product, but that's not what we're talking about in this case. We're talking about utilizing this as a construction method. And so there's nothing about the final product of this building that would distinguish it from a brand of a site-built constructed building in terms of its longevity, its quality, its appearance. So we're proposing to provide an alternative means to get the town the specific design that they wanted, that you all wanted. There are certainly many, many other options that could be considered. There are much more simplified buildings that could be considered. We've done that for many customers where it's just a very simple building. But this was kind of not my understanding of the approach to this project, which was to kind of match the design, the custom design that had been put forward previously. So I think in terms of the cost you're asking, will we come in under the pricing that was given by AET? I don't know what they based their pricing on, and I don't know what the numbers were. I shared some preliminary estimates on the building itself, but the site work is not going to be different for the modular building or for a ground up on site built building. The site work that is required for this project.
And they were twice as much. So
can you refresh our memory what that cost was? I know you presented it like 2 weeks ago.
Sure. No problem. So our estimate for the building was just under $4 million with the boardroom included.
And an approximate of what you thought the site work would be, and we're not gonna hold you to it, but
I actually didn't share any of the site work.
Okay.
I began to when I came with just the Water and Wastewater Committee and Mr. Graves, I believe, kind of stopped me in my tracks and said, he actually brought up additional items that this is kind of the whole point of getting an architect involved to do code analysis and evaluate all the things that are going to be required. So I don't have a good estimate on that.
No, we actually asked our city engineer to put together a rough estimate of that for us. That was not something that we asked you to do because it's really not your bailiwick. And I think it was $1.8 million or something. What did Mike Rock come up with for site work? He came up with
a little bit under $2
million. It was a little under $2
million. Yeah, a little under $2 million. But that was based on some things he got from AET and pricing and things he put together from his experience because he built buildings over in Oakley when he worked for their city. And so that's why that's the numbers that we came up with, a rough to give the board as a rough idea. But here's the thing. That number, whatever that number is, whether it's $1 million or $5 million, whether you put a cookie cutter building out here or whether you put a ground up strict, those numbers aren't going to change. Those are the numbers that were required for us to do site work, including parking lot, security, all those things that are going to go into this building. That's going to be a set number. Granted, I wish I could give it to you, but we tried to give. We had Mike, and I'm sure he kind of went on the high end. We tried to ask Mike to give us his best estimate as to what he thought that price would be, just so we had something to look at.
And I appreciate your comments because obviously you guys look at it a lot more than mm-hmm. the rest
well,
of us.
Well, our committee, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
right.
We rely on you, and of course Josh said, just understand the project in its totality, and so.
So really, I'm going to say this, and I'm not sure, but I think we're comparing $4 million to about $13 million. I mean, the building with the AET was 14-something million. Did that include all the site work?
It was actually 13.1, and yeah, it included everything.
Okay, so even if you subtract out, let's say, $2 million out of that number, and listen, this is really rough, guys. This is nothing to hold to, okay? Let's just say we back $2 million out of that, so that's $11 million. So now you're comparing $4 million to $11 million. So there's a $7 million savings there, and that's really rough, and that's seat of the pants, and I may not even be right. But that's how I'm looking at it.
And that 451.9 is part of that 4, correct?
Yeah, because their 845 was part of their 13.
Was part of their 13.
But again, we're only going to spend half of that until we get the quote, and then just, or what's it going to be per phase?
I mean, we have to.
The board needs to make a decision on how we want to move forward. I would not commit 400 and something thousand to Mobile Modular until we were committed to using Mobile Modular to build our building. It's a package deal, but that's what they need up front to be able to give us a tighter quote. And tell me where I went wrong there, Josh.
I would not say you went wrong anywhere. If there's more that I can provide to help give more of a comfort level in making this decision, I'm happy to do as much as possible. So
we appreciate your empathy, there's nothing comfortable about this.
Sure. No, but I understand concerns that are being raised, and I'm saying the thing is it's not really possible to get into quoting the site work. The building design development can be done separately, but on a custom project like this, we just don't get into the design. Like if somebody wants a double wide, we can say here's your layout, here's your price.
Okay.
So
at what point in this phased process do you have enough information to give the site estimates?
I think you said when they got an MRB, right?
Yeah, after.
Is that after the
schematic design?
Schematic design, is that phase 1, 2, 3, 4?
It's under design development phase if you look under two deliverables D.
So it's two, right?
And that would include the lighting plan for the parking lot. That would include all the extra, all that stuff that he doesn't know yet because we haven't told him what we wanted.
100%. What I was.
But after the schematic, okay, you asked specifically about the site. Is that correct?
Well, because we're looking at, I mean, you're good at giving us a general estimate of what the building itself might cost. Like you're giving the estimate of around $4 million with the boardroom. We know that can come down a little bit if we don't do the boardroom, but it's the site work is the great unknown. So what I'm wondering is, at the 451.9 commitment, that's to get the final thing done. We're absolutely going for it. We got everything we need. Is there a portion during this process where we might get to phase two and you say the site work is going to cost $74 million? I mean, I'm being stupid.
No, I get you.
And then we say abort.
Yeah, exactly. So instead of committing to the full 451, excuse me, obviously we know we've got to do that to proceed with the Mobile Modular. But is there a place where we could bail out because it's just going to be out of control? Maybe they find that this is a burial ground. We don't know. We don't know what we're going to find.
Unfortunately, that's not even so far-fetched.
I thought that whole town was made from scratch. So
it was a pig farm at one time. So I think we're okay. Josh, bear with me. Go with me here. Go to page 5 of our proposal, Michael, and you'll see under note DD, which is design development, I believe. Proposal pricing is to be considered preliminary as we may move through this design. So I believe that's where I was expecting to get a price. Was there. Am I wrong, Josh?
That's where I was in the proposal. That's what I was going to point to as well for this site work. And for the building, it could come sooner, but I think that to get a reasonably accurate pricing on the site development, we would be at that phase.
So, Josh, I think if we get to that phase and say, okay, this is too much for us, and we've already paid you, let's say, $200,000, are we on the hook for the rest of the $451,000, or can we say, thank you, you've done a great service to us? Like,
well, we can.
I think
the way it's currently, the contract is currently presented is not, does not have kind of those breakaway points. But that's not to say that we can to negotiate to discuss the terms and conditions and structure it in that way, right? Or break this into multiple smaller contracts potentially.
To expound on Josh, to expound on that, what Director Porter was saying real briefly. So I'm looking at Section 5, compensation and payment schedule, and you break out the cost per division that you've given us. At some point, if we get to through B and then decide, you know, this isn't going to work, and this is really dumb, it's good. My gosh, we've already invested $200,000. Why can we pull the plug? But let's just say, because it's being addressed, you know, there's another $210,000 there designed the DD part and then the construction document phase. I mean, can that be addressed as a breakdown? If it would make the board more comfortable, can that be addressed as a breakdown payment schedule? And or are we committing when we sign this contract to the entire, I think that's the question,
yes,
to the entire $450,000. Can we draw this contract up to say, if the board?
Yes, I understand.
Okay,
what you're
yes,
saying.
Stop me before I say something I don't want to say.
So attorneys wrote the last four pages of this proposal, right? So I'm pretty sure that as it's written right now, you'd be signing an agreement for the full contract price. But I hear what you're saying, and I don't see any reason why we couldn't structure that in the way you're describing. To, well, like I said, it could even be done as separate contracts if it needed to be. I feel like probably just putting a clause in there that allows you to stop the progress on the contract.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it may be in there already in all the stuff, the terms and conditions.
I studied the proposal pretty well, but I didn't read all the legalese at the back. I left the small print for our attorney to go through because he's got better eyes than I am. He's younger. But I do want to, as you can understand, this is the biggest decision this board has made that there were any options for. I mean, we've had to make some decisions on some water, wastewater stuff where you don't have a choice, unfunded mandates from the state and that type of thing. But this is, I was serious when I said this is a very uncomfortable decision for all of us. It's a big deal. We want to do the right thing. And so I'm empathizing with the rest of my board members here and saying that we're struggling with this, as you can tell. And I don't think we'll ever be completely comfortable with no matter what decision we make, because it's a big decision.
Mm-hmm.
But we just are trying to make the right decision. And I want to thank you for being
patient
with us and understanding that this is the first time we've done a project like this. So we do have a lot of questions, and we want to take any concern. Go ahead.
Josh, I have one question for you. At what point, probably when we get through phase one and two, can we hear all the suggestions that would be available to lower the cost? And just so we can judge and see, finished costs, whatever, is there anything that would still work for us but would lower the cost of the project?
That comes in phase three,
yeah.
I would assume.
Yeah.
Well, I think decisions made throughout every phase are going to have, the cost impact. So when we talk about the programming phase to get started, as it relates to the building, If we were to veer off of or vary the building from what's already been laid out, then that would be part of that phase. Because right now we're kind of, as far as the building goes, we're partway through that because that's discovering what the needs are and what the programmatic requirements are for the building. But every phase after that, there are going to be cost impact items. There's the structure, like the roof that it, as it's designed with a craned on truss roof rather than going with a flat roof, that has cost impact. As you select your exterior and interior finishes, those all have cost impacts. So
we could look at these items just kind of along the way then. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think I think it would also be helpful so that the process isn't bogged down by looking at every single item individually as a group, to set some targets or some benchmarks with that. And the architect record is going to assist with those types of discussions as well.
Okay. So,
I'm sorry, I don't know if it feels like I answered your question.
Yeah, no,
so,
that's good.
So I think for my comfort level, I would like to see the bailout strategy broken out.
I'm with you.
Yeah,
I was going to ask if there's any.
Yeah,
you're the president. Is there any more discussion?
Is there any more discussion?
I'd like to make a motion, and the motion can die if nobody wants to second it. But I would make the motion that we accept staff's recommendation to approve model module to propose and authorize the general manager to execute all contracts therein up to a maximum of $451,000. As long as we build in those breakout points that we talked about.
And if I could add one other thing, just legal review, I think it would be.
And legal review.
Yeah, so we didn't want to get involved with the, going back and forth on this at this level because it wasn't, we didn't want to spend without having any action. So the action that we would recommend would just be legal review. Dina would have the authority to sign on under your motion, and then it would be all based on council that as we're dealing directly with their legal counsel, we have the safety, the safety valve that you're looking for. In addition to there's some indemnity issues, there's other little issues that we can resolve, but I agree.
Shall I restate it?
No, that's, it would be just with legal
and review. Add with legal review.
I'll second that.
Prior to execution. Right, Andy?
Correct.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call vote on that?
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Rizzo?
Aye.
Director Grace?
Aye.
Vice President Graham?
Aye.
President Kelty?
Aye. Thank you.
Okay, at least we're moving forward, guys. And I'm not any more comfortable about it than you are. It's just that I spent 30 years in construction, so I understand. I don't understand any better than you, but I am a little more comfortable. I guess I am a little more comfortable because of that. But, Josh, thank you for your... Thank you for your time. You'll be
in
contact with Dina, and you guys can work out the details.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank the board for that. Appreciate it.
Okay, so back to G3. Discussion and possible action regarding the approval of Resolution 2024-06 related to the election of Board of Directors on November 5th, 2024.
Yeah, so the item before you today, we're asking you to approve the Resolution number 2024-06, which orders the Board of Directors the election on November 5th, 2024, and direct the General Manager to provide the documents to the Contra Costa County Board of Recorders Elections Department by July 3rd.
July 30, 2024. Okay.
All right, so do we have any discussion on this?
Dina, this is standard every year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do
the same template.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So. Any public comment on item G3? Any online?
No answers.
Okay, bring it back to the board for final discussion. It seems like it's boilerplate. It's done every election year.
Just for clarification, in voting for this adoption resolution, it does not include any expenses by the town for any statements by any of the ballot statements, correct?
It's a 250-word limit identified along with the resolution which specifies the candidate will pay for their statements.
Thank you.
Got it.
Just want to put that.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I move staff's recommendation and approval of the resolution 2024-whatever-it-was.
06.
06.
Second.
Okay, can we get a roll call vote, please?
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director
Couto? Aye.
Director Reeves?
Aye.
Vice President Graham?
Aye.
President Callahan?
Aye. Thank you so much. G4, discussion of possible action to set public hearing to adopt the operating and capital improvement budgets for fiscal year 2024-25.
Yes, as read by our president, this is to set the public hearing for June 19th. Just as background, though, we did have a budget workshop back in May on May 16th. On that workshop, we were able to talk about revenues and expenses and some of our budget challenges, but our plan responses. As outlined in the memo there, it just sort of reiterates what was stated on that day, which is, you know, we do understand we have increasing costs. We have the impacts of our future rate increases, but we also want to make sure that we're taking care of our capital needs, if you will, for the entity here as well. We want to also make sure that we understand sort of the fiscal impacts that this has, not only for this year, but for outgoing years. And so we are doing what we can through rate studies, through understanding our fiscal trends, understanding project timings and costs, as well as understanding our financial policies to make sure we can address those changing landscapes. Highlighted on the memo here is just a few items for you, which is just a recap of what our revenues and expenses are. I did want to note that there were two changes from the workshop, and that is because we got new information in relating to Zone 8. We were able to get the information from the Department of Finance. I did change it slightly from $850,000 to $1,000, so a little small change there, but I, you know, every $1,000 can certainly help us here, and so I wanted to make sure I incorporated that. Plus, we also received last week the engineer's report for the Zone 9 assessment, and so that information is coming forward after June 19th meeting, but that information has also been incorporated in here so that we can have the information that's there. But just shared earlier today at the water and wastewater meeting with the Well 8 project that is going on, they did receive bids last week. Based off of those bids and based off of what we had in the budget, unfortunately, the costs are higher, and so we are going to be adjusting the budget about additional $600,000 for the water and waste Well 8 project. And so that has not been incorporated yet, but I will incorporate it into the final document. So with that said, again, we have the information that's here. Again, we had a good discussion, I believe, at the May 16th meeting, sharing with you not only the current fiscal year, but just sort of a future forecast so we can plan accordingly. And so I go back to the recommended action, just to set the public hearing for June 19th at this location at 7 p.m. And would ask that during that public hearing, of course, it would be open, take comments from the public, and then the board can consider the adoption. And I have provided a draft resolution 2024-08 for your reference. No action is being taken today other than to set that public hearing. And with that, those conclude my comments.
Thank you. Any questions from the board?
Yes. I'm looking at your bullet points on page 2 of 3. And fund 40, and fund 41, is that supposed to be zone 9 in fund 41?
My apologies, that is the typo.
Oh, thank you. I'd read like
that comes to later.
Thank you for that eagle eye review.
I didn't think we had an assessment district overseeing it.
Yeah, that is an oversight. Thank you for that correction.
Okay. Any other board comments? Any public comment? Online? Okay, we will come back to the board for action.
I make a motion to take staff's recommendation to hold public hearing for June 19th, 2024 for fiscal year 2024-25 operating capital budget through resolution 2024-08.
Second.
There you go.
We have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call vote, please?
Judge Porter?
Aye.
Judge
Rito? Aye.
Judge Reyes?
Aye.
Judge
Kelly? Aye. Thank you so much. I'm sorry I don't have your notes. Is there a management report?
There is no management report tonight, but there is a general.
Okay, let's move to item I.
Okay, so I just wanted to mention Contra Costa County will be closing their public comments time phase for their hazard mitigation plan that they have. We posted it on our website. We posted it on all of our social media. So if anybody from the public would like to read their plan and comment, please do so. I know they're looking forward to it. End of report.
Great. Thank you. All right. Let's move to some director reports. There were some committee meetings today. Director Coteau, would you like to speak of anything from the Parks and Rec?
Sure, we had two items that we talked about. One was the splash pad that we was mentioned earlier. That will be brought to a future board meeting, but both Director Cal and I both were in support moving forward in that project, pending some information that staff's working on as far as the contract and the warranty. But as far as conceptually the plan, I think it's good for Zone 9. And the other item we talked about was extending the contract with the Army Corps of Engineers. No,
Conservation
Corps. Sorry. And from 12 weeks to 18 weeks. Sorry. Again, it was a very small financial implication for all the different zones, and so that would be brought forward, and both Director Cal and I were in support of that.
Great. Thank you. Finance Committee?
Yes, we reviewed the bi-monthly financial report that was so professionally delivered. We greatly appreciate it. And then we went through a few policy changes that are quite interesting and will come to the board at a later date. And then we also looked at information on changing our financial auditors going forward and the different bids that we received and the recommendation of our finance manager.
Excellent. And water and wastewater.
Go ahead, Derek.
We had a very short meeting. And we were talking about Well 8, which finance manager brought to our attention that there was some cost increase on that. So that will be coming to the board. They had gone out to bid. And they still need like a 5-day period before they can accept their bid. So that's why I didn't go to this one.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you. Anything to highlight out of the legislation days? Legislative days?
It was pretty good.
It was great, yeah. I would say.
We were with other CSDs, not necessarily water districts, but other CSDs or water districts. Interesting.
Yeah.
It had one employee.
500 people.
But we were able to talk to some legislators about what things affected us, how when they make laws, how it affects small districts, because we were all three of us. And one was Vallejo, though, so it's
a
bit larger.
Yeah, a little bit bigger.
But, and he had several employees. But there was a lot of talk about Ashley's Bailiwick, which is CARB, and what's going on with diesel and what it's going to do to impact small districts to have to go all electric. And that's a big deal, as you know, state legislature. So we talked about the impact that would have on us as well as other CSDs. And the interesting part was when we were talking that story to the legislators that were within our district, other people were, you know, everybody was out there, I don't know, there's 100 people out there going to all their legislators, talking the same talk. And having an influence because it helps. I enjoyed the experience.
I think there was another bill that we were talking on that would affect us greatly is the connection fees and when that is going to be collected. There is a bill that is proposed that would say, like, essentially right now when a developer comes in and develops, once that contract with us, the CSD Town Discovery Bay has been gone through and signed, then we start collecting collection fees. This bill that's in on the floor right now to discuss is basically saying those collection fees would not be collected until occupancy. So if a developer goes out of business or the market takes a huge hit and those houses don't sell for 5 years, we've spent our money to help get them connected to our water and wastewater, but we are able to collect that connection fee until they have occupancy. So that was a huge one. I think the other thing that was really great about it was CSDA does a really great job advocating for small districts like us. They had some great resources on communication, on lobbying. It was really good to see how much that support is needed. We went to go see Lori Wilson's and Senator Glazier's offices, and they had over 50 small districts within their territory that they represent. So, you know, I think it was really good learning experience. It was good to be a part of understanding the bills that really affect us, that could affect us greatly if that they go through. So I was proud to represent Discovery Bay.
And the other part of it, I think, that impressed me was that we did a roundtable with the attorneys, part of where our fees go, when we're members of CSDA. And these four guys sat up on the table and just, I mean, up on the dais at the table and told us all the bills that they were involved in. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, you think of yourself as, I think I'm fairly intelligent, until these guys start talking. And then you get humbled really quick. And I'm telling you, we have a great team of attorneys that CSDA has put together to fight our fight. And they're fighting it every day. And they're fighting it years before it gets to the legislature. And they're trying to nip it in the bud, and I was really, really impressed with that team that they put together.
Nice.
I think it was good, too, to see, like, how, I mean, you hear some of, like, we were talking with some of the other districts, and you know, we feel like we're small, and sometimes we're making big decisions like this, but I was proud to say, like, our board gets along very well, we are very thoughtful in what we do, we have staff that is great to work with, and so, you know, again, it was nice to be part of and represent Discovery Bay and know that we were there.
It's nice to hear.
For the greater cause.
Good.
Nice. I'm glad you got to take advantage of that. Okay, so we have some file training reports. Any correspondence, legal report?
I have one comment.
Oh, sure. Sorry.
On the CONFIRE meeting tomorrow at 12 noon is the Byron Wildfire Center's ribbon cutting. This is where the Byron Boys Ranch was,
nice. And
is now going to be the Wildfire Center.
Is there a date on that?
Tomorrow at 12 noon.
The ribbon cutting's tomorrow?
Tomorrow at 12 noon.
Okay.
I'm going to try to go. Hopefully someone else can, if possible.
I read, and at the CSDA meeting, because our fire department, CONFIRE, is a CSD. Randy Brian Helmick, and he sends his best.
Okay.
I got a chance to say hi and talk to Brian for a few minutes and tell him how much we appreciate him and the conversion.
Excellent. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. Thank you so much for that.
That's it.
Okay, so there was no to LM and OP. Any future agenda items for the from the board? All right. With that, at 8:16, we'll adjourn. Thank you.